Alrighty guys, welcome back to the channel. We're back on the internet together again today. We are talking the new internet that is being brought in from December 10th. It's only a few days away. Things are going to change. People, it's for the children apparently. Let's jump into it.
Well, social media giant Meta has begun blocking under 16-year-olds' accounts on Instagram and Facebook. Now, this, of course, comes as the first wave of the under 16 social media ban comes into effect next week. National Senator Matt Canavan asked two very important questions in Senate estimates this week, and the response from the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Iman Grant, and officials was quite baffling. Have a look.
I've had some great family experiences on YouTube. I don't understand. I mean, I get there's some, maybe some harm, but I feel like you haven't fully captured the positive benefits.
Some of our research did show that 96% of 10 to 15-year-olds had one social media account, and 70% of them experienced harm on social media, and 40% of those experienced the most harm.
I'm just talking about YouTube. Just to go back to what we said earlier, children can continue to do all of that on their parents' account?
Senator, I think if they were doing that on a parent's account, we would expect that Google would assess that.
So they'd block my account? So if I was allowing my child, as a parent, to use my account to look at content, they'd block my account?
They may assess
that. So you're going to restrict the rights of their parents?
The user of the account
is
underage.
What a night.
He's asking some good questions here, the old Maddie. I think it's Maddie Canavan, the old caravan. But in all seriousness, it's got nothing to do with children. Just have a listen to this. It is using children as an excuse to bring in online monitoring, online tracking of what everybody is doing. We are all going to have to prove we are over 16 years of age now. I don't know specifically how we're supposed to do that, but this is straight up the entry point into the new future, where big government, once again, is going to be monitoring us like Big Brother. Why is YouTube included? I'll tell you exactly why YouTube is included. Now, I don't think YouTube is a free speech platform, but it is a platform, nonetheless, for the average everyday punter to come on, and if they play the game the right way, they can just about get away with saying whatever they like if they say things in line with YouTube's policies and guidelines. The government don't want that. They want to make sure that people don't feel like they have free speech. Why? Because it's all mapped to your name. It's all mapped to your address. Also, people, they don't want people being able to watch this content without feeling like they're being spied upon. That's why you won't be able to log into YouTube. So as a creator, we got an email. There is a note on, we have like a analytics dashboard that creators have access to. And it says from December 10th, people who don't sign up and prove they're over 16 years of age will not be able to like and share and comment and all the things that us as creators encourage our community to do, to be a part of it. You won't be able to do that anymore. And that's what, in my true belief, that they're trying to do. It's got nothing to do with kids. Kids are clever. They will circumvent it within hours. They will work out how to do it. That's why when this gentleman here, he said, well, if I, as a parent, if I say that's fine, I allow my kids to watch, you know, Peppa Pig on YouTube, that decision gets overridden by the government and they'll block your account for not playing ball. It's just showing you the control they can have. So nothing to do with the kids. They are saying we can, at our discretion, ban you, block you, shut you down. Oh no, G-Man, it's all about the kids. Kids are going to find ways to look at content no matter what. No matter what. Yes, there are a lot of platforms out there where they are used for bullying. Facebook, and I don't think kids use Facebook anymore. It's Instagram and Snapchat and all that. I do agree to an extent that those things need to be addressed, but is it a full ban and making the whole country having to sign up? There's got to be a smarter way of doing it. But this is being used as the excuse to push it through. It's for the kids. It's for the kids. Don't worry, parents out there having any agency over what your kid consumes. No, that's the government's decision, not yours. Very, very slippery slope. And you've got people out there saying it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. How's it a good thing? More control. So these are the same people out there during the pandemic response, telling everyone and dobbing on their neighbours and all that to go and get the jab and forcing people to go and do it. And if you don't do it, we're not friends with you and all that sort of thing. It's the same thing again. The sheeple, majority of the population is sheeple. If you dare challenge it, you're a bigot.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Very strange, isn't it? National Senator Matt Canavan joins me now. Good to have you on the show, as always. So the commissioner would not say what the benefits of YouTube are for kids, and now we have confirmation that if a child does use their parent's account, there's an expectation that the account would be blocked. What is that?
Exactly right. Now, let's talk about the benefits for kids. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of slop on there and cartoons and things like that that people use to medicate their kids when they're out for dinner or they're travelling, the kids are acting up and all that. Get it? It's entertainment, though. So I actually feel very bad for those creators whose livelihoods are being shut down. That's another thing to think about. You know, people who are creating and managing online businesses that are in this space, in this niche, their whole livelihood depends on that. They don't care. Which goes to my point earlier, shutting people down for things, doing things that I want you to do. But what are the benefits? There are plenty. There's a lot of educational content on YouTube. You can look up just about anything. Could be assistance with studying if someone's struggling to understand a subject. Maths. Using tools like Excel and Microsoft Word and all those sort of things. Extra content that I would say probably everybody watching this video is probably done. How do I do this? How do I do that? Now, there is probably thousands and thousands of examples of how YouTube is beneficial and a productive tool for kids. And yeah, okay, you might get, what do they have, you know, what do they use an example that someone made cartoons that had swearing and nudity in them to trick people to letting their kids watch them. I don't know why you'd do it. There's some weirdos out there, but that happened and that's the reason why they're waving this around.
Tell us.
Well, look, Danica, the eSafety Commissioner did highlight some of the harms that can come from social media, and I absolutely accept that. I accept that perhaps there's something governments could do to help parents. But the problem with this whole approach is this bill, this act, these measures completely override the will of parents and effectively seek to replace parents with state officials like the eSafety Commissioner. And however smart the eSafety Commissioner thinks she is, I don't really want her in the role of parent to my children. That is my job and my wife's job. Yes, there are a lot of issues to manage, but we should be the ones principally in charge of that. What was even more unusual from that exchange, you couldn't play all of the exchange, but what is even more unusual is I asked the officials about the situation where a child may seek to post videos. There's lots of examples of young children setting up their own social media accounts. There's a great journalist, Leo Pugliese, who started as an 11-year-old. There's an Olympian that this week had to shut down her social media accounts and she'd cataloged her sporting career on there. If they post videos, apparently, on your account, on your parents' account, that's okay. So a child, apparently, this is what the official said, could post a video on their parents' account. But if they watch videos on the parents' account, as you just heard, you could have your whole account locked out.
I mean, sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? And it's not well thought through. That's why there's all these holes in the process, because it's not just to protect children. It's just to bring in the next stage of Internet 2.0 censorship in Australia. That's all it is. If you can't see that, you need to get your eyes checked. I'm going to leave this topic there. Let's move on to the next one. Before I do, if you want to support the channel, like, comment, and share all those things you might not be able to do going forward. Get it in over the next few days, especially if you're not one who wants to sign up and prove your identity. Now, I'm not sure how they're going to do it. They haven't given me any details yet. Now, I don't believe it's giving identity forms, but let's see. Anyway, if you want to support the channel further while I'm demonetized, there's a PayPal link in the video description and pinned comment. For those of you who've been asking me how to do it, it's there. There's also a Patreon for this channel set up. If you want to go over there, I'll be uploading my videos over there from now on. Just in case I do get shut down here. And once again, I have a local setup, but that's for my men's content. If you want to watch that, go over there, check it out and support over there. Lots of videos, lots of content going up there all the time. And it keeps me independent of YouTube, not having to worry about being shut down, not having to change my views and thoughts to make sure I play ball. Let's go. Now we're talking about the economy. We're talking about inflation once again. Government spending, utilities, pushing up the cost of everything.
About the economy, because, again, government's always going to tell us, nothing to see here. Opposition's going to say, terrible as it is from EQ Economics is none other than Warren Hogan. I always love him because he's always going to tell us what's actually going on. I don't know if you heard Stephen Conroy there, but he referred to the Reserve Bank as bedwetters. Do you agree with him because they're a little too up or a little too down, or is this the Goldilocks approach to how Australia's going?
Well, Paul, I watch Stephen's commentary on the Reserve Bank because he is the best forward indicator of a rate hike. When his rhetoric starts to really amp up and his attacks on them get personal, we know they're about to hike rates. So
I could see it happening. I could see it happening, absolutely. People thought, I was one of them. I thought, we'll throw it. Inflation under control, all that stuff that, Jimmy C, good old Jimmy Chalmers and Elbow coming out and, patting each other on the back. We've got inflation under control. Liberals couldn't do it, but Labor's come in. We've done it. We've crippled families in the process. We've sucked every last dollar out of the economy in the process and put it into the pockets of the banks. But hey, we won, apparently. But no, because this whole net zero. Whole net zero is pushing it up. How, G-Man? I'll tell you how. Electricity becomes a lot more expensive. There's expensive infrastructure that needs to be, the costs need to be recovered. The cost to serve has gone up. What happens? Your prices go up. So what were they saying? I think the headline number is 37%, let's call it 40% hike in electricity prices. You couldn't think of any more of a failure than the government of Australia. You really couldn't. You had Albo coming out, Labor, we're going to save the day. The joint's a basket case. We're going to get housing under control. We're going to get the cost of living under control. What has happened? House pricing running away. They're bringing in even more taxes, which are going to drive up property prices. The newest tax that Jacinda Allen's doing in Victoria, so in the communist state of Victoria, is to charge, I think it was $11,000 for property developers, just a levy on top of everything else for every completed apartment. So aren't they supposed to be encouraging building affordable and mass producing these properties? So you're going to hit 10K or 11K on every single one. Guess who pays for that? The end user, i.e. the people, the consumer. They're not going to wear it. They're just going to factor it into their costs. Well done, Jacinta. You're doing a great job for people. Hands in everyone's pockets.
It is actually destructive because the reason central banks are independent and senior respected politicians like Stephen shouldn't do that is they have to make the tough decisions that our politicians can't. And the problem, what we've seen in the last couple of months confirmed today, is that great news. The private sector is coming back. People are spending pretty consistently now. Businesses are investing. But we've got no ability to grow the economy without creating inflation because, first of all, we didn't slow the economy enough. We didn't raise rates high enough in the first place. And so as soon as the economy is recovering, it's creating inflation.
I don't know about that, Hogs. I mean, Warren Hogan is a permabear, right? Now he wants rates up through the roof probably because he has a lot of money in cash. Who knows? I can tell you now, I'm going to get people in the comments saying, well, people shouldn't have bought houses with cheap credit and blah, blah, blah. Well, they did. All right? And the debt gearing is very high across the board. If you're telling me we needed more rate increases, I can't get behind it. Yeah, I know people want to see, everyone has a vested interest. They want to see things crash and burn. They want to see people suffer and lose their homes and hopefully swoop in. Because some of those cheap houses we've all been hearing about, by one of your mates down the pub for the last 25 years. Oh, I'm just waiting for the crash, G-Man. I've got my powder dry. I'm going to swoop in and buy 6 houses on fire sale. All that's going to happen is people who are already on the edge are going to be pushed into poverty. They're going to be forced to sell. And what does that do? Puts upward pressure on the rental market. So to say we need rates needed to be higher, I can't get behind that. A lot of people battling I think the average person's paying $25,000 or $30,000 more dollars out of the family budget every year on their mortgage. Banks are loving it. Making record profits. People are suffering big time. People are suffering. There needs to be other levers here. Why don't they do this? Why can't they take that money that would go to the banks, take that portion, garnish it out of people's pay, and then put it to super? Takes it out of the economy, invests it, doesn't put it into the pocket of a bank. Something like that. Now, I don't trust super. I think government's going to go for it and take it, but that's a topic for another day. They're already talking about using it as an infrastructure spending slush fund. Good old Jacinto once again. Government using your money. They're out of their own. They're probably, well, they're not probably, they're $250 billion in debt. We should start taking people's money, their retirements. Well, for them, apparently, the old super. No, it's just a slush fund. They'll get their hands on it. Why can't there be other levers here to slow things down, to take the wind out of people's spending? I don't know who's out there spending. There's definitely a two-step economy going here because I know a lot of people they're not doing well. They're having a hard trot. They're not out eating two and three times a week with meals and all that. I know people say, oh, gee, man, well, the economy's going great because every cafe you go to and on a Saturday night, if you go past a restaurant, people are eating out. The old restaurant index. People have got to have something in life, I guess. Anyway, good rant. Once again, you guys are going to get a rant. If you come here, that's what you're getting, whether you like it or not. So enjoy it.
Pressure again. And that's a reality. It's not because the Reserve Bank's got their foot on the throat of the economy. It's quite the opposite. Mm. We're getting growth in the economy when you include inflation of around 6% nominal growth. The interest rate probably should be around 5%. It would have been under Glenn Stevens or Ian McFarlane. And we're just way too low. And you can see it in the housing market. House prices are going up, even though they're extremely expensive for most people. Mm. So his analysis is wrong, and it's counterproductive.
Well, good on you, Warren. Good on you, mate. So let's talk about housing prices. They are coming down. As I said, it's a two-step economy. You've got people out there who can afford this. There are always people going to be out there who can afford the houses. Now, the lower middle class isn't affording them. The working class definitely aren't. You just got people out there who have money, you got dual income earning, successful couples, double income, dual families, making a couple of hundred K each a year. They can go and afford to buy houses and gear up $2 million for a family home. You know, not going to pay it off quickly. You're going to be in 30 years of severe mortgage stress, but hey, you can do it. I know people who've done that. Family income of about 400K, boom, let's just go and buy a house, 200K, sorry, 2 mil with 1.7 or 1.6K, sorry, $1.6 million mortgage paying like 10 grand a month. Fucking mortgage. It's nuts. People are doing it though. House prices aren't coming down. We've already seen that. We've had 13 rate rises, a couple of cuts. They're probably going to go, the rate's going to go probably back up. Guess what's going to happen? Nothing. It's just the average punter, that dream slips farther and farther away. So we need to stop effing around with rates and work out another way here because it punishes everybody. There are a lot of people out there who aren't. They're just trying to keep their bloody house, trying to put some money away in the offset account. And you've got people who don't give a shit or who have too much money spending up. Because I'll answer you this comment. There are people out there who've gone, you know what? Life's hard. I'm probably never going to be able to buy a house. You know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out eating. I'm going to go traveling. I don't care because I can save for 20 years and the goalposts are still going to move. I'm not going to be able to buy a house, so I'm just going to spend the money and enjoy it. Now, I don't recommend doing that, but that's the mentality of many people. That's why restaurants are full. All right, Warren, let's keep going, buddy.
Productive.
Okay, one day we'll get you two in the same room and it'll be fun for everyone to watch. The brawl, the fight, the back and forth, I look forward to it. Let's talk, though, again, about those little cat's whiskers that you look for that tell us how things are going. Because to me, you know, I obviously try to look at it from an individual's perspective rather than that sort of holistic approach. When I see a country where 3 million people are going to run out of food, when I see the mortgage stress, the power bill stress, all the rest of it, but also I know the reality is that, you know, personal debt never been higher. People love living larger than they did, say, 20, 30 years ago. Is this part of the political reality that the government's allowed to get away with piddling up against the wall because we do too?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that we have a very good access to credit, and that was the big change in the last 30 years, and now we've got access to our mortgage offset accounts. And so people can get through tough times. They don't improve their position. But the thing that's really different is our economy is unlike the economy that was around before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we couldn't find jobs for everyone. It was unemployment was the problem. But that's all changed with the retirement of this baby boomer generation. And now we can't find enough people to fill the jobs.
You've got to be joking, Warren. No, I don't know what you're looking at, mate. I reckon our data, there's something off with that. I know multiple people just in my inner network, and I don't have a huge network, that are being made redundant months and months ago and can't get jobs. They're applying for jobs every day. They can't get them. They don't get a response, or they get an instant rejection, because there's hundreds and thousands of people applying for just about every job. It absolutely is an employer's market. Don't know what they're talking about. Job market's contracting, especially in many different sectors. Now, if you're talking about service and food jobs and all of that, I can't speak to that. But you got a bunch of migrants coming in who will take those jobs, take the Uber jobs, the Lyft, Didi or Didi, whatever it's called, you know, driving around and doing all that. Cleaning jobs. But good, solid careers, the people have been turfed out on their ass with, they're unable to find something similar in the market that previously you probably could have gone from job to job with good experience. You can't now. Guys, put in the comments, if you're having a hard time finding a job, you've been out of a job. And I'll get people in the comments, yeah, I got made redundant and I found a job the next day. Doesn't apply to everybody. You're very lucky. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Otherwise, I'll rant for the next 6 hours. See you guys in the next video. Have a great day. Once again, if you want to support the channel, check out the Patreon. Check out the locals. If you don't want to do any of those, just continue to watch my videos. I'll continue to post here. Cheers.